1, 2, 3.
I'm Redbeard, and today we go in the studio with the trilogy of albums that marked the American comeback for a legendary British band, The Kinks.
It's a little music, only jukebox music, only jukebox music.
In America, but coming from nowhere again, it was like having a second opportunity to do it. Because we didn't really do it first time. You know, the first time round we came to America and the band nearly broke up. So we didn't really go all the way.
He just spends his life living in a rock and roll fantasy. He just spends his life living on the edge of reality. Catch me now, I'm falling.
They genuinely liked that tour. Because we were playing the big auditoriums, but we were sending ourselves up, you know. We weren't taking it that seriously. And that came across, and everybody had a good time.
Superman, Superman, oh, what a fly like Superman.
Hello, I'm Ray Davis of The Kinks, in the studio for Sleepwalker, Misfits, and Low Budget.
Of all the British bands that stormed America's shores in the British invasion of the 1960s, none have had a longer or more checkered career than The Kinks. The Kinks weren't as cute as the Beatles or as nasty as the Stones. They were an odd mix of campiness and raw power, as likely to kiss each other on the lips as they were to have full-blown punch-outs right there on the stage. The Kinks' music ranged from folksy ballads to elaborate rock operas, musical mood swings that reflected the complex personality of the Kinks' lead singer, the one and only Ray Davis. Maybe that's why it took the Kinks so long to really get a hold on American audiences. Strange as it seems, it wasn't until the late 1970s that the Kinks staged a full-fledged U.S. tour, finally introducing themselves to arena loads of American teenagers who'd never seen Ray Davis hamming his way through Lola or Dave Davis belting out the classic garage rock riffs of You Really Got Me. What they discovered in Ray Davis was a rock singer unlike any they'd ever encountered. An actor as much as a vocalist, changing his attitude, his demeanor, his look with every song. Here's Kink composer and lead singer Raymond Douglas Davis with me in the studio.
It's finding a character. I know it sounds strange, and I keep referring to this as it's some as if it's some other person. But writing a song and singing is like discovering another person. You find your way inside that person. I don't think is any difference between being a singer and, say, being a dancer or ballet dancer or an actor. You find your way into the role, and as soon as you become absorbed by that character, it's easy to sing it or dance it or act it. And maybe that's what it is, finding my way inside the song.
I start to creep through the shadows of the moonlight. I walk my beat. The
your window tight. I might come in for a fight. Oh yeah. When nighttime comes, I start to creep. Prowl around when you're fast asleep. I walk around on my tippy toes, and I get into places that nobody knows. I'm always around if you wanna meet. You can find me on almost every street. You always get me on the telephone. I'll even come to your home if you're ever alone.
Title song Sleepwalker was from the album that began the American resurgence in 1977 with the Kinks. The album made it to number 21 in the U.S. sales chart, the first Kinks album in 8 long years to make the American Top 40. I asked Ray Davis about the circumstances surrounding making the album Sleepwalker.
There was something in my character that was going through a dark person. It's like groping in the dark for something new to do and to be. I think that's what kick that song off. Although the song may just sound like a rock and roll song, there are parts of it that really say a lot about the way I was feeling, and certainly the way the band was. Again, I keep going back to the band because I do kind of... I'm the spokesman for the band, really, in those songs. But I do feel that's a point in time, and it says it about what the band was going through then.
What the Kinks, and particularly Ray Davis, had been going through in the 1970s was a period of musical experimentation, a series of rock operas and mini musicals that had met with only mixed public response at best. Writing in the All Music Guide, Stephen Thomas Erlewine correctly points out, and I quote, Arista Records had made it clear that they would not accept any concept albums from their new signing, The Kinks, and Sleepwalker made good on the band's promise.
Firstly, I said to the band, look, I'm going to make it easy for you now. I'm just going to make a normal record. And, you know, 10 tracks, 12 tracks aside, or an album. And then I thought, oh, isn't this going to be easy? I just have to write songs. I don't have to think about their place in the plot or the play or whatever. Then I found myself writing a whole concept record. You know, I believe that people write a set of songs for an album and it becomes a concept album. Born in the USA was a concept album, in my opinion. So even though the writer wasn't really trying to do it. But I thought when we made Sleepwalker that it would be a nice bunch of songs. But there is some sort of thread through it. You know, a strange thing, I remember very clearly taking the band into an office somewhere and just playing assorted sounds and tracks to them, not necessarily Kinks songs. And I said, the atmosphere I want on this record is really dark and it's someone who doesn't know where he's going. And I gave them a sort of brief of what I wanted to do before I wrote it. I knew in my mind what I wanted, but I didn't have the songs yet. And that happens a lot with me.
Kinks had a great song in 1977 Sleepwalker album called Jukebox Music. There's a line in that song about how the girl believes the stories in the songs are real and how she lets the music dictate the way that she feels. I asked the song's composer, Ray Davis of the Kinks, about people identifying so closely with songs and the singers who sing them.
Now think about it. I wish I'd written it another way, but it is kind of direct and it does say what I'm thinking about. I think it's someone who actually believes that the music will get them out of their situation and help them out of a bad patch. you know. And there is a tendency when you're unhappy about yourself and your life, you do tend to be drawn to something, whether it's a film or a book. You say, well, what's right about this book? What does the character in this book or this record do if they were in my position? And you do look for things like that to help you through your own situation.
Although the Kinks' popularity was on the rise in 1978, Ray Davis has always had mixed feelings about being a rock star. The Kinks were going through lots of personnel changes in those days, and the notorious onstage fistfights between Ray and guitarist harmony singer brother Dave Davis were a regular occurrence.
Elvis Presley dying had more an effect on me than I realized. I loved his early Sun, you know, records on the Sun label, and the guitar playing on all those records, but I was never really big Elvis fan. But when he died, I really it affected me a bit. I suddenly realized that the person that really introduced me to rock music wasn't there anymore, and had been turned into this Vegas creature. No idea, and it's wrong of me to assume I know what he felt, but I just wondered if he was happy with that. But that's what made me sad. But out of that, you know, the good thing about being sad is that you can get happy again, and you write yourself out of it, and you find other things to make yourself laugh and cheer people up. And hopefully that song starts off pretty down and doomy, and it comes up to some elevated thing at the end. I like to do that. You've got to start from somewhere.
Hello you, hello me, hello people we used to be. Isn't it strange? We never changed. We've been through it all, yet we're still the same. And I know it's a miracle we still go. For all we know, we might still have a way to go. Hello me, hello you. You say you're worn out, wanna start anew. Throw in your hand, break up the band, start a new life, be a new man. But for all we know, we might still have a way to go. Before you go, there's something you ought to know. There's a guy in my block, he lives for rock, he plays records day and night. And when he feels down, he puts some rock and roll on, and it makes him feel alright.
Something you ought to know. our shows. He's seen us grow and he's seen us high. Oh, but you and me keep thinking that the world's just passing us by. Don't wanna spend my life living in a rock and roll fantasy. Don't wanna spend my life living on the edge of reality.
Of the classic Celluloid Heroes, Ray Davis of the Kinks, came up with the equally plaintive Rock and Roll Fantasy on 1978's album Misfits by the Kinks. Next, Raymond Douglas Davis of the Kinks hits the big time in America, but on a low budget. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you'll find a whole lot more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the Kinks, Low Budget.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Ray Davis of the Kinks for Misfits and Low Budget with Redbeard.
Thanks, Ray. Davis's edge has always been his sense of class struggle and alienation, a main theme in punk rock about the time of Sleepwalker and Misfits in 77 and 78. But it had been a recurring topic in Ray Davis's lyrics long before the punks made it fashionable. Davis's charm, on the other hand, has always been his detachment, his detached ability to question himself and his place in society.
When I got Misfits together, I remember very clearly it was 77, 78. We were rehearsing in a church hall, a really cold church hall near Conk Studios. And I just got the drummer playing this stuff. And I said, play this backbeat, Mick, and play this keyboard, John, and... Then I came out with the lyric of Misfits on the spot. I wrote it on the spot because it had been in the back of my head like for 3 or 4 months. I was researching it and it was in my head and I made a few notes, but I didn't really write it until I got there with the band. And it was a feeling, the whole record was somebody who made himself an outcast or didn't want to fit in with where he was at, or somebody who was thinking of getting out of a relationship or out of a living environment. And so that was maybe the thread on that record. So I do all this before I write the songs. And maybe I sense it's the time to do it or be like it. So when I look back at all these songs now, even though I've moved on and I've written them for other characters, they do mirror what my life was about, right? At that time. It's quite interesting.
Have you heard about the trouble throughout the land with the fascists and the left-wing militants? Out of work executives are killing themselves and the IRA are killing everybody else. Don't panic, don't lose control. Keep your head, keep a hold. Act normal, there's nothing wrong. Stay cool, just carry on. You gotta live life, be yourself. You can't live life for anyone else. You gotta live life, that's all you do. Nobody gonna live your life for you. Don't get depressed when you're reading the press about world revolution and social unrest. Try not to panic when you switch on the news and see the crooked politicians and the unemployment queues. It's only life, it's
revolutionaries protest and sing because they're dedicated followers of any old thing. They got every solution for every revolution. They live in the slums just like the poor people do, but they'd rather sniff coke instead of food. Right-wing fascists beat up the flags, then they salute the Union Jack. We can't pretend there's nothing wrong, it's not the end, so just carry on.
Ray Davis about a great rock song on the Kinks' Misfits album in 1978 called Live Life.
There's nothing clever in the song, really. What I like about it, it sets up images. The lyric sets up images. And I remember writing, thinking about that song. At the time, I was going to pubs a lot, not to drink that much, but just socially, because a friend of mine was in Monty Python. He used to live nearby. And a few writers, hacks we call them in England. I just used to meet with these guys and talk, and they were all kind of misfits in their own way. I think that's why people go to pubs in England. And there was one guy in particular who I used to watch, and he used to go out and he used to sleep in the hedge, you know, in a ditch. And the next day he'd come in the bar and he looked great. I said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Oh, I slept in the field last night." Well, he didn't actually say that, but that's what he had done. And maybe, you know, seeing these people, and again, picking up from the people I've been with, that's what set the idea in my head. And there's a lot of me in that, but there's a lot of me that it doesn't exploit what I am and doesn't go the whole way. I just become it in my head. I write the song, then I disappear and go somewhere else. But also I wrote that song a lot while I was in New York. It was just going around in my head.
Trousers are giving me pain. They were reduced in the sails, so I shouldn't complain. They squeeze me so tight, so I can't take no more. They're a size 28, but I take 34. Where it goes, we're all on our rappers, we're all going skin. I used to suck cigars, but now I suck Polo Mints. I'm on a
Kinks, with the title song from the third jewel in their late 70s triple crown of albums called Low Budget. Up next, Ray Davis rejoins us to recall the making of the Kinks' best-selling album. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and there's much more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, you're in the studio for Low Budget by the Kinks.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Ray Davis of the Kinks for Low Budget with Redbeard.
Thanks again, Ray. In the spring of 1979, the Kinks released a sly satire of the recession and oil crisis that gripped America in the late 70s, one of the better mainstream hard rock albums of its time, says writer Stephen Thomas Erlewine in the All Music Guide about the Kinks' low-budget album. It would graze the top 10 in America and give the Kinks their first gold album in 13 years. Ray Davis remembers the feeling.
Well, we'd had number ones albums and things overseas in England and stuff, but in America, but coming from nowhere again, it was like having a second opportunity to do it, because we didn't really do it first time. You know, the first time round we came to America and the band nearly broke up, so we didn't really go all the way. It was fun, you know, and it's great to see the audience love the work, and they genuinely liked that tour because we were playing the big auditoriums, but we were sending ourselves up, you know. We weren't taking it that seriously. And that came across, and everybody had a good time.
I've been waiting for years to buy a brand new Cadillac. But now that I've got one, I want to send it right back. I can't afford the gas for my luxury limousine. But even if I hit the door, no one's got no gasoline. I went to my local dealer to see if he could set me straight. He said there's a little gas going, but you have to wait.
pretty outfits and red hot speed and some really high grade hats.
With 1979's low-budget album, once again without really meaning to, Ray Davis had constructed a concept album filled with songs about life getting harder, about coal strikes and rising oil and gas prices, issues that struck him living in London and New York City.
A low budget was quite a series, but it's quite funny also. It's like this, as I said, Dickensian character going out and saying, "Oh, forget it, who cares anyway? I'll go on stage and I'll be myself, you know." It's it reeks of, you know, dripping makeup and beer bellies and everything going wrong. I like that. I mean, and the audience really, I remember before we started the tour in Dallas, we played a club in Dallas to start off the tour, and some kids drove all the way from Montana or somewhere to see the show, and they said, "We really relate to this record. It's good." And there was I, thinking I'd written something that upset me when I was in London about the strikes, or in New York about the gas sting, and I thought it was really my problem. But people relate to it. It's good. And we recorded a lot of that album in New York, which is different for us. But it was, again, called low budget. So what I did, I said, this is my philosophy for the whole album. So I got the guys over on sort of cheap Apex fares to New York and put them in a really rotten hotel. I got the guys in touch with themselves after. I didn't want them to get drunk with the success, all this mega success we'd had with Sleepwalker that got to number 40 in the charts. I don't want this to go to their heads. So I brought them over to do this thing. And we did the album in 2 weeks, did the backtracks in 2 weeks, but it took about a month to mix it. So because we cut a lot of corners here on the recording, so I had to cure all that in the mixing.
Mm-hmm. cigarette and a cup of tea. I looked in the mirror, what did I see? A 9-stone weakling with knobbly knees. I did my knees, bent press ups, touched my toes. Had another sneeze and I blew my nose. I looked in the mirror at my pigeon chest. I had to put on my clothes because it made me depressed.
Like Superman. I love that song from 1979's Low Budget by the Kinks. By that time, Ray Davis was spending a lot of time in America. That change in perspective is evident in the songs on Low Budget, and there's no better example than the song Catch Me, Now I'm Falling.
A friendship had just broken up with me in my life, so I said I was angry about that because I felt that the person that broke up the friendship, it was done for professional reasons, nothing to do with friendship. And so I wanted to write a song about that, and that's where the element "I needed you when you were down" or something. No, you needed me when you were down, but now I want you. You're nowhere to be found. Hey, and then I was thought about. Well, I think America was being put on a bit at the time unjustly. Sometimes, you know, everybody gets what they deserve. But I think the world was definitely against America then, and I felt that. So I used the two stories and put them into one. So I personalized it. It's always good to personalize it and then stick in a few global comments here and there. It sounds very simple, but it's really nice to construct it that way. But then it just comes out as a rock song, right? You know, that's all it is. In the end of it, it's going back to jukebox music. It's just jukebox music at the end of the day. That's all it is. But in getting there and finding a way to making the finished record, you go through all these wonderful exploratory exercises and find out about yourself. But at the end of it, it's just a piece of vinyl or CD, whatever CDs are made of.
I remember when you were down and you needed a helping hand. I came to feed you, but now that I
of citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
This is Captain America calling.
Calling.
The Kinks on the anniversary of Low Budget with Catch Me Now, I'm Falling. I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio. I can't thank enough my guest, Ray Davis of The Kinks. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2014. All rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and much, much more when you visit inthestudio.net.